Good morning.
For those of you who are visiting, we're glad you're with us. For those of you who aren't visiting, we're glad most of you are with us as well. No, we're glad all of you are here this morning. We're going to continue to talk about the temptations of Jesus, but we read from the Old Testament. And that's a little bit the basis of our lesson today, is how Jesus was able to stand as a man against the temptations of Satan and its relevance for us. Plus, just the relevance of Scripture. I know I've shared with you many times because I said it. Those of you who are ahead of me said it. Those who were ahead of you said it. And our kids and grandchildren are saying it now. Why do I need to know this? When is somebody ever going to come put a gun to my head and say, if you can't give me the Pythagorean theorem, I'm going to shoot you? I don't need to know that. But most of us have lived long enough to know that there are those building blocks of mathematics and science, learning, that help us as we move along through life. The same thing is true of the Scripture, that our learning the Word of God is relevant and valuable as we walk through life. I still remember the conversation so vividly with an older gentleman who said he just didn't know why we talked about that Old Testament. We wasn't under the Old Testament anymore. And I have thought about that conversation many, many, many times. Because we're not under the old law. But the Old Testament is of such value, to the point of the Apostle Paul saying to the young Timothy that that inspired Scripture is valuable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God might be complete unto every good work. There is value in the Old Testament because it is the Word of God. And the New Testament is very clear to tell us that we have been grafted back in to the promise made to Abraham. Now, while I understand we're not under the law given to Moses, we are heirs of a promise, of a covenant that was made to Abraham. And we are children of the living, great, and powerful God, the Lord of lords, and the King of kings. And we learn so much about God and His power through the events that are recorded for us in the Old Testament. And so, those are not just stories that we teach our young people in Bible class, but stories that we need to remind ourselves, because as we go through life, we need to remember and realize how powerful God is, how He works in our lives, and how we can depend on Him. Because Jesus is going to withstand a temptation from Satan, remembering the promises and the power and the position of God. The promises, the power, the position of God. Who God is. And this is not knowledge that Jesus just brought from heaven. Well, we know He's the Son of God. He came from heaven. Jesus is quoting from the Scripture, saying this is what we know about the Father from our history and from what has been preserved for us in the Scripture. And Jesus gained strength from that to resist Satan's temptations, and we can do the same thing. While Jesus precedes us by 2,000 years, give or take, Deuteronomy preceded Jesus by thousands of years. But it was still relevant in His time, and it's still relevant for us. Because we all fight the argument, we hear the argument, that the ancient Scriptures are just out of date, out of touch, out of tune. Not relevant for us today. But they are relevant for us today. Because God is the same, and the promises are true. And the promise made to Abraham wasn't fulfilled in Abraham's time. Now, God blessed Abraham. But God has continued to maintain the promise through the history of His family, the Jews, through the coming of the Messiah Jesus, and through our lives as branches grafted into the root as children of God. So, Jesus now, when Satan, it's the third temptation in Matthew 4. And let's go back, we'll read that again, Mike. This is the third of the three temptations. We've talked about the bread being turned to stone. Jesus is hungry. Turn the bread into stone. We talked about that 2 weeks ago and looked at the scripture. The man does not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. The second was he takes him up on the pinnacle of the temple, the high part of the temple, says, cast yourself down because the scripture says that you won't dash your foot against the stone, but that the angels will care for you. You swoop down in there amongst them and come out unhurt and unharmed, and they're going to see that you're special. Now the third one is Jesus carried on to the high mountain. Let's read it. Again, the devil took him to a very high mountain and showed him all the kingdoms of the world and their splendor. All of this I will give you, he said, if you will bow down and worship me. Now here's the temptation. You want to rule the world. You want the power and the riches and the splendor and the fame that comes with ruling the world. I'll give it to you if you'll just worship me. If you'll worship me. If you will bow down to me, here will be your reward. Here's what you will receive in return. Satan does the same thing to us, doesn't he? Same thing to Adam and Eve. He didn't say bow down and worship me, but he said, if you'll do this, you're going to receive this in return. He tempts all of us with, if you'll do this, it's not what God would have you to do. Here are the benefits that come to you. Different temptations, different benefits. Some of them, greater knowledge, greater fame, greater power, greater wealth, greater happiness, greater pleasure, greater satisfaction, greater something that we desire, that we want. And Satan says, here's how to get there. Jesus, you can be the king of the world if you'll just bow down and worship me. Jesus said to him, away from me, Satan, for it is written, worship the Lord your God and serve him only. Then the devil left him and the angels came and attended him. More than once is it written to only worship God. It's a theme throughout the scripture. It is part of the covenant relationship, isn't it? Part of the covenant relationship that Israel was reminded of again and again, and even for us, is what position is God going to hold? Is God going to be king and ruler, or are your own desires, or is Satan, or is something else going to be most important to you? But I want us to look, as we did, as we read from Deuteronomy 10. Because here comes the question. What did Jesus give up to not worship Satan? That's the relevant question. What did Jesus give up? What did he sacrifice? What did he forego? What did he do without to not worship Satan? And I want us to think through it. Because that's how Scripture applies. If we believe Scripture, as Abraham believed God and it was counted to him as righteousness, it's important because what Jesus has done is believe, he believed the Scripture. What did Jesus give up by not worshiping Satan? What do you and I give up when we follow God and we don't give in to Satan's temptations or to the world that Satan has corrupted? And that's not a good way to say it for the point of the analogy, but that's the truth of the matter. What do we give up to follow God? What did Jesus give up? Well, I can tell you, the cross would have probably been different if Jesus had given in to this temptation. That's the reality of the matter. Might have avoided the cross and the pain that came with the cross. Might have avoided some persecution. Might have avoided some cold, hungry, lonely nights and days. I believe that might have been different because Jesus would say, even being the Son of God, when people would come to Him, He says, while I'm here, at this moment, at this time in my life, in my purpose of following God, I don't have anything. The foxes and the birds are better off at this moment than I am. That's what Jesus says. He says, the bird's got a nest to go to and the fox can go to his den. I'm telling you, I got nowhere to call mine to lay my head. Jesus could have avoided that. He could have worshipped Satan and at that point could have had the comforts that the world had to offer for a while. But where is Jesus now? Did He suffer persecution? Yes. Did Jesus suffer pain for serving God? Yes. And you're going, you're not making me want to make this decision. The reason I'm telling you that is, that's what the Scripture will tell us. Jesus' invitation for us is to take up our cross and follow Him. Jesus' invitation to us is, the world didn't know me, and they won't know you. Just as they persecuted me, they'll persecute you. Jesus could have avoided that. But now Jesus has been raised from the dead. Because He could have ruled the world for a while. Again, Indiana Jones, one of the great theological dissertations of our time. And searching for the Holy Grail. You remember the scripture was, the Nazis can rule the world, but they can't take it with them. He said, I want the Grail because it gives eternal life. You know, in a popular movie, that's really the temptation that Jesus has at that moment. That boils it down. And you can look at that movie and it's a classic now. I don't think of it as a classic. I think of it as a modern movie. But it really boils down to where Jesus was. Do you want to rule the world now and avoid some struggles? Or do you believe God who said, I will exalt you. Humble yourself and I will lift you up. Because Jesus now, as we know, is risen from the dead. So death no longer has power over him. No dread of death. He's overcome death. He has been exalted to the right hand of God, and Jesus will rule everything. Everything. He is the King. Everything will be placed under His feet. All of His enemies will be destroyed. The last one to be destroyed is death. That's what the Scripture says. But Jesus could have said, I want the bowl of soup now. But he remembered what God had said to the children of Israel. When they come into the land, he says, fear God, which Solomon the wise man would say is the beginning of all wisdom. He says, as you come into this land, remember God and worship Him. Because God will deliver on His promises. And what did Moses write for us? Because the heavens are God's. Even the highest heavens and the earth is His and everything that is in it. So if Satan makes that temptation to give you something temporarily, Jesus knows, but the Father controls it all forever. And that just as He blessed our forefathers, and gave them that land and blesses us, the promises of God are true. And so, what one might have with all of its problems for a moment, God's children will have absent of any problems for eternity. So Jesus said, get away from me, Satan. It is a temptation, but I believe God. I believe God that the blessings He gives are real, without hooks, and are permanent. And so I will give up temporary for permanent. I'll give up a fallen gift for a perfect gift. I will not worship you who are not God, and will worship the Lord of Lords and King of Kings who keeps His promises. I'm telling you, Jesus didn't give up a thing, did He? Jesus received more than Satan promised without any of the problems, never for it to be taken away. And that's what God promises us. But Jesus knew from the Scripture who God was, what His position was, what God had promised, and He believed it. He believed it. He said, I believe the Scripture. And I know how God has demonstrated His power on earth and how He will continue. That's what's relevant for us. Do we believe God and His promises? That what Satan offers has really no appeal to us because it's flawed and temporary at best. And the bottom line is, He does not care about me and you. Satan does not care about me and you. Did you hear that? Satan does not care about me and you. All right. It's a rough, rainy morning, isn't it? I went to a dinner Friday night. The gentleman had been a commissioner in Bedford County for 34 years. Preaches for Missionary Baptist Church. We were not going to sit quietly in the audience. He says, I'm not here to preach. I'm not going to preach, but he preached before it was over. But he clapped hands and said, I need a witness. I need somebody alive. Y'all need to wake up this morning. But we all enjoyed it. He was colorful. And he did preach. He had that sing-song voice. Very different. I'm not going to do that this morning. That's not who I am. Nothing wrong with it. Just different. But it was a powerful message. But wake up. Because what I'm saying, Satan does not love you. And you need to understand that. Because it's fundamental to us being what God wants us to be, to understand Satan does not care about us. Satan does not love us. He seeks to devour us. And Jesus says that God controls, owns, possesses the highest of heavens and the earth and everything in it. And then here's the next phrase of Deuteronomy. But He cares about us. That He called our forefathers. That even though the heavens and the earth and everything in them are already His, He doesn't need us, He doesn't need our gifts, He doesn't need anything from us. God still loves us. And He sent His Son to die for us. Satan doesn't love you. Satan doesn't want what's good for you. Satan is evil and selfish. God loves you. To the point that He gave His own Son, and He has permanent, eternal blessings for all of us. When Jesus faces Satan, that's what He remembers. That's why He quotes that Scripture. That's why it's important for us to know the Word of Satan. Just like God delivered Israel and put them into a land of promise where they ate from vineyards they did not plant and drank from cisterns they did not dig, God has blessings for us. And there are no strings attached. Now, God calls us to fear Him and love Him and serve Him. But there are no bars. There's no small print. Right? Steve, that you Wednesday night talked about the small print. I remember that. Well, Steve said, the person who reads the small print gets an education. The person who doesn't read the small print gets experience. Right? Well, there's no small print with the promises of God. That's truth. There's no small print. There's no, it's limited. Here's the cost. Here's the problem. Here's what happened. None of that, because God loves us. And He desires to bless us. Jesus, in facing Satan himself, quotes the Scripture because he believed that God loved him. And that God was going to bless him eternally with all of the blessings that are available. Remember this. Every good and perfect gift comes from God. From God. No other place for it to come from. It comes from God. If we believe the Scripture, we know that every good and perfect gift comes from God. So what's Satan offering us? It's less than good and perfect, isn't it? Because there's only one place they come from. It's from God. But if we don't know the Scripture, and we don't believe in who God is, then we're easily drawn apart, aside. No matter what the situation, change the situation. Because Satan can change the temptation based on the place and time and on our wants and desires, right? He can do it. Does do it. Changes it. And our own lust feed into it, do they not? That's biblical. That's biblical. But when we know the basis, the Scripture, and understand who God is, then no matter how Satan dresses himself, no matter what kind of fruit it is, no matter what the temptation is, we can resist it because we understand who God is. Because the question always comes down to this. Are we choosing God and what's perfect and eternal? Are we choosing Satan in something that's fleeting and imperfect? When you boil it down, there's no other choice. They just look different, but the choice is always the same. But it's tough. And we would be silly to say it's not. You know, we can sit here in this environment and say, you're right, that's always a decision. It's just as clear cut as it can be. But when faced with it, it's always difficult because Satan is good at what he does. He's good at what he does. When it comes to lures, he can do it. He can make it attractive. And there's something in us that even though we know better, we'll do it. We'll do it. Because it seems good for a moment. And I'm not worried about tomorrow. But when we look at what God has promised and what He has delivered on and what He will deliver on, we say, why would I give that up for anything Satan offers? Now, Jesus would have given up some struggles while He was here as a man. I believe that. I do believe that. I think it would have invited a lot more troubles, but some of the things that He endured would have passed. And I believe that for me and you. That I believe God blesses us while we are here and protects us. But as God's people, we will face troubles, trials, pains, struggles. I believe that. I believe that's as biblical as anything else in the Scripture is. But if we remain faithful, blessings are enormous. And the choice is, do I try to skate by now? Do I take soup today? Or do I take a mansion forever with all of its blessings and all of its splendor and all of its glory? Am I willing to take some struggles today to follow God? Jesus said, get away from me, Satan. You will worship the Lord, and Him only will you serve. Jesus wasn't quoting a scripture out of context, just saying, well, I know I was commanded to follow God, so I'm just going to follow God. And that's okay. I mean, it really is. If you're that good at doing what you're told, that's all you got to have. But I'm going to be honest with you. You're the rare exception that you just do what you're told because you're told. I ain't raised none of them. I'm pretty sure I'm not going to get that done. I didn't get that done. Now, sometimes we say, just because I told you so, that's okay. Sometimes God says, just because I told you so. That ought to be good enough for us, but why? Because we understand who God is and what He has prepared for us. Because if it's just, well, my religion says I can't do this, for most of us, that's not sustaining. Satan will pick that apart. We need to understand that. But when you understand that our true and living Heavenly Father, who loves us, has prepared glory for us in eternity and protects us even now. We can bear through the struggle and say, Satan, get away from me, because you ain't offering nothing. You ain't got nothing. The Father has everything for me. You got nothing to offer. I'm not telling you no just because I've been told to tell you no. I'm telling you no because I have weighed what you offer in the balance. And you come up way short with the gift that the Father has. I'm going to walk with God because He blesses and He keeps His promises and He's not looking out for Himself. He loves me. He's not looking for something from me because He possesses everything. He shares with me. And I'm going to follow Him. The temptations of Jesus. There was a man who was offered the things that many of us, I guess all of us at some point, maybe at all points in our lives, dream about. And he knew, Satan, your promises aren't fulfilling. I'm walking with God. Because I know what He has done, what He is doing, and what He's going to do. We're people walking by faith. People walking by faith. Speaker Friday night, 3 points. Speaking to a crowd at the Willie McGowan dinner at Bradley Academy. Talking about where we've been, where we are, and where we're going. And I'm going to tell you how he closed. He did get to preaching. When he talked about, he said, I'm not worried about where we're going. He said, Jesus died, and on the third day, he come out and went home, and I'm going home. Where are you going? It really boils it down, doesn't it? Really boils it down. I'm not worried about where we're going. Because if you believe in Jesus and have surrendered to His Lordship, we're going home. To the place God has prepared for us, where there are no sorrows, no struggles, no troubles, no broken promises, where we are loved and where we rule with Jesus for all of eternity. You need to come do that while we stand and sing.